Welcome to Pine Grove. Welcome to Time Change Time. So we're actually going to start, this is a transition Sunday. We're starting a new series for the next month or so. I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. But this is really a transition Sunday because I'm starting out with one half of a message, and I'm going to move into another message which is almost totally different. So I'm almost doing two messages, but they link together, and they link together importantly. That's why I put them together. Had a call from a lady this week who was thinking about coming to Pine Grove. I had a long discussion with her, but she was asking, you know, what our preaching was like and so on. And I said, yes, this is what it normally is like, but for the next month or so, it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to have a bunch of guest speakers in, and we're going to be focusing on missions. And so this is the beginning of that. So just before but I'm also going to talk a little bit about our community here at Pine Grove this morning. So that's the first area that I'm going to talk about. So just before we begin, can we just quiet our hearts before the Lord? Lord Jesus, thank you for your patience with us, your love, that you love us and care for us. Thank you for this family of believers that we have here where we can encourage and help each other. Just help us to hear you speaking this morning into our hearts, into our lives. Help us to understand some of the challenges that may be before us this week and this month. We look to you. Just bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about Pine Grove. Pine Grove 101. How does Pine Grove work? Because Pine Grove is different than lots of other churches. If you come from certain church backgrounds, then Pine Grove will be fairly familiar to you. But if you don't come from that kind of a background, if you come from most evangelical churches or liturgical churches, you will find that we operate a little bit differently. So I want to talk a little bit about that and think a little bit about the importance of the family here and meeting together. A churchgoer once wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it made no sense to go to church on every Sunday. He said, "I've gone for 30 years now, and in that time, I've heard something like 3,000 sermons. But for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time, and the pastors are wasting theirs by giving sermons at all." Well, okay, that's one perspective. The newspaper editor loved the letter because it started all kinds of controversy and people writing in and so on. But then somebody wrote in this. Said, "I've been married for 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked some 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But I do know this. They all nourished me and gave me strength. This gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me those meals, I would be physically dead today." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the author writes, "Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so, spending some time thinking about Pine Grove, I don't want it to be a business meeting or anything, but understanding how Pine Grove works and how we work as a community and how you can fit into that community is a really useful kind of thing to do. So, our tagline, our mission statement is communicating Christ to the world through word, worship, and prayer. And that's the mission of the church, to communicate Christ to the world through whatever means, through things like the movie coming up on Friday, through the Big Give, through other events that we do, both locally and around the world. And so that's our mission as a church. And we think the word, worship, and prayer are important key parts of it. And they motivate us and help us and prepare us for reaching out to the broader community around us. But Pine Grove itself is a non-denominational community church. That means that we stand alone. We don't send money to some denomination. There are some organizations of similar churches that we belong to, but we don't actually pay anything to them, or if we do, it's just a free will offering. But as well as not sending any money out, there's no imposed structure from above. There is no, you have to do it this way and not that way, and all of that sort of politics that can come in as you start to get into a large organization. So we're non-denominational. The buck stops here. And I'll talk about, come back to that in a minute. And we're a community church. We're a community of believers, and we draw from the community around us. And we want to touch the community around us, but we want to draw together and be a community ourselves, a part of that community. And so we're focused on this, roughly on this eastern area of Ottawa. So another thing about Pine Grove is that the work is done by the participation of the congregation, not by professional staff. Yes, we are looking to hire a professional pastor, but that is to, there are certain things that we can accomplish by doing that that are difficult to accomplish. Things will get done that are tend to fall through the cracks a little bit right now. And we can get some more consistency. There's some other things we can do in terms of preaching. So we believe that having a pastor will benefit us. But if we have a pastor, we are still the same church. The body of the church, the body of believers, are the people who will do the work. So the speaking is done by people who are gifted in speaking. The chairing of the service is done by, or hosting of the service is done by people who are comfortable with hosting. And we offer opportunities for people. The music is done by people who have some degree of musical capability, unlike some of the rest of us. And we appreciate the worship, and it was really good this morning. I appreciate that, guys. Yeah, and so, but if you're not participating in the church, if you're not helping out in some way, then you're losing part of the benefit and the joy of being in the community. So it's an opportunity for, and identify where it is you feel comfortable working. I mean, maybe helping in the nursery, maybe helping greet at the door, maybe help working with the kids upstairs in the Sunday school, maybe in chairing, maybe in music. Maybe in helping with some of the outreach activities, maybe helping in the kitchen. There's all kinds of opportunities for work and for helping in the church here. Okay, we actually have no formal membership. You'll notice when we do communion, we just say anybody who believes in Jesus as their Savior is welcome to take the communion. So there's no membership. You don't have to sign a card pledging you're going to stick around or whatever that is. We figure if you show up here for, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks in a row, we figure, okay, you're probably coming here, so you're one of us, you know? it's kind of informal, but there's no formalized membership as such. So there's no cards to fill in and that sort of stuff. However, we do have a directory, and the directory comes in two forms. It comes in printed form, which we issue once or twice a year, and it comes, what updates a little bit more frequently, is this an app on your mobile device, on your tablet, or on your cell phone. Now, I do have to apologize. Right now, there's a bug in the Android version, and it's not working right. A couple of people pointed out the bug to me last week. I started working on it. I still haven't resolved what the problem is. I'm working on it. I'll send out an email as soon as it's back to working properly. The iPhone version is still working okay, but there's just some timing race condition in the Android version. However, the directory, one of the nice things about doing the electronic directory is, first of all, it can be updated frequently and often. So Marnie maintains the database for it, and it will update the data. When you open it up, sometimes it'll say, you know, there's a new update version of the directory. Do you want to download it? You say yes, you download it. 15, 20 seconds later, it's on your phone, and you've now got an updated directory. The other cool thing is, if you can give Marnie a picture of yourself and your family, then she sticks it in. Because sometimes people come in and you don't know who they are, or you've come in recently and you don't know who everybody in the church is. So you can flip through the directory and say, oh, that's who that person is. You know, you connect names and photographs. So it's kind of helpful that way. If you're not in the directory, if I can pick it up here. There are some sheets like this on the table with the books at the back there, and you can fill in your information. Just drop it in the offering box when you're finished. There's an offering box at the back there as well. So fill out the information, drop it in, And you can email Marnie at the update at pgbiblechurch.ca with your picture, and she will update the directory that way. Okay, so membership, directory. Plan to protect. Another important thing is one of the principles that we work under here is called Plan to Protect. Plan to Protect is an organization that helps predominantly churches, but other organizations as well, to manage the way we interact with the vulnerable in our society. And so the vulnerable could be the aged, those with an injury or some sort of disability, or youngsters, or anybody who's vulnerable for any one of a number of other reasons, physical or emotional or mental. And so one of the principles of that is that you basically work in pairs. So although the Sunday school teachers may be singly in a classroom, those classrooms all have glass windows, and there's a floater who's sort of walking around keeping an eye on things and is there to help in a situation. When the youth group is doing something and somebody has to drive, there's always two adults in the car driving the kids. So it's the idea of pairing, and it protects the workers, the volunteers, and it protects the kids as well. If you're interested in working with the kids in the church, then you must get a police check and fill out the application form, which just gives us a record of your information. That's part of the protocol that's involved. It's not a test. You don't have to write an exam. You don't have to study for it, but you do have to do those two things. And once that's all in place, then you're available to work with the kids. And that's an important factor of the way we do all outreach activities, VBS activities, and so on here in the church. It's an important part of it. We do have a statement of faith that is published on the web. I am not going to go through it right now. That would take me two or three sermons worth just to get through it. Be fun, but we're not going to go there at this point. So you can check it out. If you have any questions, you can talk to myself or one of the other elders. The last thing I want to talk on this slide is giving. We do take an offering each week. You can put in cash or you can put in checks. If you put in cash and you'd like a receipt for it for income tax purposes, there are envelopes at the back. They're usually beside or close to the offering box. And you can just fill in and put your name and the amount on it. And you can, if you have a suggestion for the use of it, like if you know somebody who's struggling or something, you could put a suggested use of it. And the deacons will consider that when they disperse that money. I will add this, because some people, depending on your background, don't even want to write their name on the envelope, because they want to be very private about it. Ultimately, the person who does the books has to know your name anyway, so one person has to know your name, but she can give you, the administrator, Christine, can give you a number that you can put on if you don't want to put your name on the envelope. If you're just dropping in a check, it's probably already got your name and address on it, so you don't even need to bother with an envelope if you don't want to. Very easy that way. We also have something called pre-authorized donations. Now, I recognize when you look in the Bible and they talk about giving, you know, they talk about giving each collecting the money on the first day of the week. That's when they worship together. And that was fine because people got paid by the week then. I don't know about you. I get paid by the month now, whether it's from the government, my old age pension or old age security, that sort of thing. I come in once a month. And so I tend to give once a month. But for people who want to give once a month and don't want to remember to do the checks and struggle with all of that, we also have pre-authorized giving. There are some forms at the back. The information is on there, and you can fill out the form with your banking information and so forth, and the money will come off. You indicate the amount you want for how long, and the money will come off on the 20th of each month. If you've got any questions about that, you can see Christine at the back as well. Or come and bug me, and I'll point you to her. Because I don't have the answers. I'll just, pass you on to her. Okay, so that's functioning at that level. Elders. So the elders of the church take care of the spiritual leadership of the church. There are four elders currently: Paul, Danny, Wesley, and myself. I'm also devote one third of my week, roughly, I'm paid for to add one third of my week to helping out Pine Grove. So I operate as interim pastor at this point, but primarily I'm an elder who just dedicates a bit more time to it probably half to three quarters of my time to the church. So we're responsible for the spiritual leadership, the doctrine, the teaching, the overall direction, and the well-being of the community. Elders are not elected in the church. The elders are always thinking and looking for new elders. And if we see somebody who we think has the potential, and we always would like to add a couple more. There's no number that we have to have. So we consider does the person meet the spiritual qualifications as outlined in 1 Timothy and in Titus, and are they actively demonstrating leadership and pastoral care at that level in the church? We also have deacons. We use the naming out of the New Testament, but you know this just happens to be the structure that works here. We have a board of deacons, and they take care of the things like the finances, the building and grounds, needy saints, you know, kind of like that biblical model from Acts, where things that the elders are perhaps not as good at, and it frees the elders up to think about other things, the overall direction of the church, and so forth. So the deacons, very similar to the elders, they're appointed, they're not elected, they're approved by the board of deacons and elders before they're asked. They have to meet the qualifications outlined in 1 Timothy and demonstrate the characteristics in their daily life. And they can serve for however long that they choose. And so the deacons we have right now are Ted and Marg and Francis and Joe and France. Again, there's no set number. Sometimes we've had six, seven. Sometimes we've had four deacons. Doesn't matter. We also have, and they are ably assisted by our church administrator, Christine. I was noticing, Christine, when I took these pictures, somehow you are lower down in the frame than the others. I wonder how that occurred. She's shorter. That's right. Christine really helps us out a lot in the church. She does the bookkeeping. She handles the email and answers the phone, the church phone when there's messages left on it. She takes care of the calendar booking of the building so we don't get conflicts in the building. She deals with just so many things. She's just arms and legs for the deacons to help them out. All kinds of admin tasks that she does. Okay, I said we don't elect elders and deacons and so on, and that's because although we're incorporated as a corporation inside the province of Ontario, and we have to be incorporated and we're registered to give tax receipts and so on with the Government of Canada, it's only the elders and the deacons that are the members of the corporation. So we are not a democracy by any means. Okay. So when we're making a decision, a financial decision or a structural decision, something like that, it's just the elders and the deacons that legally vote on that. We always try to be transparent in what we're doing and let you know those sorts of things, but we don't have the... It just is a little neater. That's the way we work. We do have to elect by law. We have president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and they're elected annually by the elders and deacons. But those are really... The only time those come in are when we have to sign a contract. For example, we had to recently sign a contract with the city of Ottawa. They're expropriating about 10 feet of land on that side of the property. And we had to sign a contract with them. And so two of the elected officers are the people who are authorized to sign on behalf of the corporation. We do have an annual general meeting for the church. This year it is scheduled for January the 20th, 2019. We normally try and hold it in November, but I got to the schedule before they did. So I got my preaching schedule for November before they could set it up. So anyway, it's not a legal meeting by any means, but we open all the finances and show you what it is and talk about major things that are coming up. It's a way of providing full transparency in what we're doing. Now, coming back to the purpose of the church, missions is really what the church is about. Well, okay, the church is about two things. One is the community of believers, but the purpose of gathering as a community is to encourage, to teach, to instruct, to help one another, to build each other up, to encourage us to do the work of the church. And the work of the church is ultimately the gospel, spreading the gospel, and helping those around us. And so in many ways, we have a missions committee that helps us with this. Missions is the heartblood of the church. And this month, we are focusing on missions. This whole month, every sermon this month, we'll focus on a different mission organization. And what we want to do this month is we want to offer you a challenge to be involved in outreach, in mission, in one way or another, as part of Pine Grove. And so there's a list of the missions that we regularly support. Four of them are stars. That's not because they're special. That's not because they did their homework on time or anything like that. Those are the four who are going to be talking, who are going to be speaking this month. So Rob and Cecilia from Uruguay will be in here in 2 weeks' time. Next week, Ottawa Inner City, Ken McLaren will be here from Ottawa Inner City Ministries. And at the end of the month, Dawn is going to be speaking. We ran into some scheduling conflicts. So Dawn is going to cover off talking about FH Canada. That's our missions work that we do in Haiti. And today, I'm going to talk about the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard. And so what we want to do is focus for the rest of the month on missions. So who is the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard? They are just down the road. They are just off Jasmine on Aerosmith Drive, corner of Aerosmith and Jasmine. They are a local distribution center for food, and they are a member of the Ottawa Food Bank. So I don't know whether it's funny the things you learn when you get involved in these things. I volunteer with them, with the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard. And the thing I learned is Ottawa Food Bank, you ever heard of the Ottawa Food Bank? You know, you see ads for it, and you collect for it at work, or these sorts of things. The Ottawa Food Bank does not give out any food. Does that surprise you? It kind of caught me off guard. There are local distribution agencies around the city, and they are partners with and members with the Ottawa Food Bank. The Ottawa Food Bank collects food and then distributes it to these agencies, and those agencies take care of distributing it to people. And so I'll come back to that in a little bit, how the agencies work and the areas that they cover. But that's the way it works. So Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard is an organization. It's been going for about 30 years now. It was started as a temporary effort to provide relief for people who couldn't get food, who were struggling for food. And they continue that today. So that's who GEFC is. How does it work? So what happens is people who need food can come in once or twice, depending upon their income. They can come in once or twice per month and get some food. They receive healthy food that's equivalent of 4 days' worth of food based on Canada's food guide. Now, of course, that's also dependent upon what food we have. So sometimes we don't have very much fruit, so you maybe don't get as much fruit as we'd like to give you, but we give you as much as we can. Sometimes we don't have enough vegetables or enough fresh things, or sometimes we don't have enough bread, because the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard is dependent upon donations, cash donations, food donations, and so on. They're open 3 days a week, Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., super busy time because people who are sort of at the end of the day ladies who would normally come and get food but have a bit of a struggle getting there can bring their husbands along, and it can kind of become a bit of a social time there as well, because people meet friends and so on there. We're open Wednesdays from 12 until 2, so 2 hours then, and from Fridays from 9:30 to 11:30. And the way it works is you come in, you take a number, just so we can take you in order. Once you've got your number, we call you. You go through a short interview process to make sure that you are within our catchment area, that you can get food from us, to make sure you haven't already had your one time a month. There's a few things that we have to check off as well. Once you're checked in, then another volunteer will take you around, and they have a card that says, for whatever size family you've got. If you've got a family of 5, then it's one card. If you have a family of 17, it's a different card. And, we go up to, I think 13 is the largest family I've seen there. And that card says that you get so many points of fruit, so many points of vegetables, so many points of pasta or rice, and so on down the various food groups. And a volunteer takes you around, and you choose the food that you need, from each of those food groups up to that number of points. And so most things are kind of divided into 1 point or 2 point portions. And you just, if you get 5 points of something, then you take a number of points of it, a number of items of it. Or if you take a larger package. We do have some larger packages for larger families. So that's kind of the way it works on a week-by-week basis. Just to give you a bit of a perspective, this is September 2018 numbers. September numbers in general. Okay, so you can see we gave out food for 1,947 people. So in 6 hours a week for 4 weeks, we provided food for 1,947 people. That represents 523 households. Of those people, 928 of them, just about half, are kids under 18. And for kids under 18, as well as providing food, if I can use that word, we also provide snacks because they need snacks for school and so on. And so we provide snacks for kids under 18. 24% of the people in September 2018 were there for multiple visits, so 2 visits per month. You can also see the trend over the time. And you can see that, yes, our numbers are going up, but we took a big spike when we had a very high number of refugees coming into the country in 2016 and 2017, and that settled down a bit now. That doesn't mean we're not getting refugees, because virtually every refugee that comes into the country for the first some period of time is needing some kind of assistance. And some of them need assistance for quite a long time as they come in. But now we're not seeing as many people from Syria coming in. We're seeing more people from Africa. I would say we get, I don't know, probably 8 or 10 families a week coming in, new refugees from Africa. The money they get is not too bad once the child tax benefit kicks in for the kids, but it's a little tough to make ends meet until the child tax benefit comes in. So that gives you some kind of numbers of the people that we serve at the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard. So, who can get food? So, this is a hard map to see. Google Maps is kind of... Anyway, this is the catchment area that we have. So let me describe it for you. We're going to start down by my house. We're going to start at the corner of Salerau and Innes Road. You know where that is? Okay, Salerau and Innes Road. We're going to start at Salerau and Innes Road. Okay. Salerau and Innes Road is right here. We're going to go out Innes Road. We're going to go around Blackburn Hamlet. So not Blackburn Hamlet. That's not our catchment area. And then we get to Navin Road, and we go down Navin Road until we get to Merbleu. And follow up Merbleu, and I know it doesn't go all the way straight through, but the line goes straight through and becomes Champlain Street up to the river. All along the river to Blair Road, down Blair Road to Appleford. Well, not really Appleford. It's across from Appleford, because Appleford doesn't go that direction past Blair. So and you draw a straight line from there down to Salaron Boulevard, and then straight back down Salaron Boulevard from there to Innes Road again. So that's the catchment area, a big catchment area. We have to service a lot of people from a lot of areas. Biggest number of people that we have, the highest concentration, is down in this area, Donald Street, because the towers there are used for a lot of refugees. So that's the catchment area, and people can come based on their income and expenses once or twice a month. So what are the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard's needs? Canned fruit. Canned everything, just about. Fruits, vegetables, pasta, tomato sauce, soup, meat, fish. We need it all. We need it all. And we get some from the Ottawa Food Bank, but we depend heavily as well on churches and schools and companies to do food drives as well. We need fresh fruit and vegetables. Fresh fruit of this year is a little tougher. We're coming into the winter season, so we need more canned fruit now. But it's great in the summer. We get lots of fresh fruit and vegetables. Remember, we have a community garden out here, and we provide a lot of food for the food bank from the community garden. The food bank has their own community garden, and the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard, has their own food gardens right beside their property there. And they also, there's a community farm out here, and they have a number of acres of land there that people from other, and we try and get people from other cultures to farm that land and raise food that they're familiar with. Because you see some of these people, refugees coming in, and they look at pasta sauce, or they look at Kraft. They don't know what idea what that stuff is. Soup? It baffles the mind. What is this soup stuff? You know, what do you do with it? You know, they don't get it. Pasta, beans, cereal, rice, sugar, flour, coffee, and of course money. Because there's some things that we need that we can't collect in food drives. Eggs, milk, bread. We get some from the Ottawa Food Bank, but we don't get enough by any means. And so we need to buy that stuff. So we need money. One of the challenges that Wes didn't... So here's your first challenge of the day. One of the things that Wes did not mention is when you're coming to the movie on Friday, I can only imagine, bring some canned food, some boxed food, something for the Ottawa Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard. In fact, you can do that. We especially want to do it, and we'd like your guests to do it when they come this Friday. We'll have a table set up out there. There's always a bin out there. And anytime, you know, not just this Friday, but anytime you want to drop food in there, I will pick it up, usually on Sunday, but maybe on Monday, and I will take it to the food bank with me when I go on Wednesday and contribute there. So it's very easy for you to contribute to the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard. Just drop it in there, and it goes directly to our local community food cupboard. Another thing Cherie did ask me to mention is for Pine Grove people coming on Friday night, if you could bring a tray of finger food. So we're going to have from 6 until 7 o'clock is kind of finger food time, so if you could bring that as well. So there's your first challenge. Bring a can or two or three cans of food or a box of some food or something like that. Not peanut butter. Peanut butter is basically garbage. There's almost all the nutritionists take it, most peanut butters. I mean, you can buy good peanut butter, but most of it's got all the protein taken out and used for something else. You know, most of the stuff you buy, the Kraft stuff, is you know, we don't count it as protein. We count it as food extras because it's basically garbage. Okay. Didn't mean to go all political on you. Sorry about that. Okay. Another way. What about volunteering? Maybe you'd be interested in doing that if you've got time. So all kinds of opportunity work. Office work. Intake. Helping interview people and register them coming in. Food distribution, helping them take them around to help them choose the food, the quantity that they get from the various food groups. Food packaging. A lot of food comes in sizes that we don't give out. One other thing I forgot to mention. Another thing you can always contribute, and again, drop them in the box there. Glass jars. Plastic containers in 1 cup and 2 cup sizes with the lids on them. With the lids on them, because we get food in there that comes in lumps that are too big. Sugar. Normally comes in 5 pound, 10 pound bags, kind of thing. That's more than we're giving out. We're normally giving out like 1 cup of sugar at a time. And so we divide the food down. So there's a whole team there that's dividing food down. You know, I do some of that in about. I can take a 50 pound bag of rolled oats, and I can break it down into 4 cup lots, which is what we give out, and have it bagged with a recipe in it and all wrapped up, and I can do that in about 40 minutes, do all 50 pounds. But, you know, so we break food down, so there's food repackaging, and of course cleaning needs to be done at the building as well. Okay, now, here's your next challenge. So, I've given you a challenge to bring food on Sunday, giving you a challenge or a suggestion that maybe you might be interested in volunteering if you've got the time and one of those slots fits. But here's the challenge for this week. Reverse Advent calendar. Okay, does anybody know what an Advent calendar is? Okay, yes, Christine's got the good stories about me and Advent calendars. You can ask her afterwards. Advent calendars, you open them in December and it's one for each day and you get a chocolate, at least you hope it's a chocolate that's inside it. And you don't make the mistake like I did and buy one a year ahead and decide, well, the chocolate's going to go bad, so I'm going to put it in the freezer to keep it cold, and it's going to be really good, and then open it the next year, and your children discover that it wasn't chocolate at all, that it was plastic toys. But the plastic toys were fresh. Oh, well. So a reverse Advent calendar works this way. It works in the month of November, and you have a box in your house, and every day you put something in the box. Okay? Specialty foods and treats for Christmas, pancake mix, maple syrup, biscuits, muffin mix, cookie mixes, teas, coffees, hot chocolate, chocolates, jams, crackers, dessert mixes. Or you can put in cookbooks, children's books. You know, it doesn't have to be food. It can be other things. And you'll understand why I say that in a minute. Personal items like shampoo, shaving lotions, toothbrushes, toothpaste, combs, socks, slippers, toques. Just things that people would like to get. Especially understanding that some of these people are refugees. Okay? And you put it in the box every day for the month of November. And then on December 1st, well, you could take it to the Gloucester Emergency Food Cupboard, or if you just bring it in here, the shoe boxes will be gone by then. And so we'll collect them here, and I will volunteer to truck them on down. What happens then is that stuff is then taken and sorted out into its various groups and put on shelves. And then when we're doing Christmas, now we register people for Christmas exchange and so on, but some people for whatever reason can't get registered for that, so we provide them with a little extra food. But we'll also provide people with some gifts, and we let them choose. We call it Christmas Corner. And so this year, we're doing Christmas Corner, and it gets really, really crowded, and it's utter pandemonium on those days that we're open. So this year, we're doing it a little bit differently. We've been given some space, an empty store that's not in use down at Gloucester Mall. We're going to operate in Gloucester Mall the week before Christmas. And I've gone out on a limb here, folks, and I have volunteered Pine Grove Bible Church for Thursday, December 21st, to be there to help give out those gifts. Now, there will be people, don't worry about the training part, there will be one or two people there who know what they're doing and can instruct you. But basically, what you do is somebody comes in and you're told they're allowed to pick up so many kids' presents, so many adult presents, so on, and you just take them through and they can choose what they want off the shelf. So it's just a way of meeting people, of talking to people, of associating with people in the area, getting to talk to them a little bit. It's open roughly from 2 till 7. If you can't be there for all of that time, that's fine. We don't need a lot of people. We're only talking about 4, maybe 5 people, 6 people at most. So if you can't be there for all the time, you know, we can spell you off. But that's the idea. Aaron. Thursday, December. Anyway, the Thursday. Okay, so it must be the 20th then. I apologize. Okay. I'm fired. Well, yeah. This is why we have a church administrator. Okay. Somebody to keep us in order on this kind of thing. If you're interested, just let me know. Send me an email, give me a phone call, whatever. I'll put your name on the list. When we get more details, as we get a little bit closer to the time, I'll give you the details. Even if you can only be there for a couple of hours, let me know, and we can move people around. But it's the afternoon. It doesn't interfere with take a break. Doesn't interfere with specials. So, giving you an opportunity to bring food this week. Going to give you an opportunity to think about volunteering. Giving you a challenge to do a reverse Advent calendar. Think about doing that with your kids. Collecting a box of things with your kids and helping them, having them put it in and see the value of this. And an opportunity for you to help give out some of these gifts and meet some of our neighbors. And that's my message. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to serve you, to help people in our local community, to reach out and touch their hearts and their lives. Just help us to take up the challenge to meet and touch those around us, to encourage them and be part of their lives and just establish a connection with them, Lord. Thank you for all that we have. In Jesus' name.